relax and hear some bowl.
Thank you. It's very good to be here. Thank you, Ed. That's lovely. I am so glad the technology caught up with the ability, and now we have the ability for those sounds to come through relatively accurately as they're played, without the interesting distortions that used to happen. So we are talking about a chapter out of this book. Interestingly enough, we're talking about helping others. I believe in your last session, someone spoke about prayer and treatment, the chapter that's before this one. And Connie's nodding yes, so good. And I'm sure that everybody here is very familiar with it. Oh no, my battery. I'm unplugged. Okay, well, we can rectify that with no problem. All right. And I'm sure everyone here is familiar with prayer and treatment. Everyone here is familiar with treatment. Very likely everyone here does treatment for one's own self and for other people. I know requests go out for treatment for people, and Bob's been dealing with things recently. Other people deal with things over time. And so there are requests for treatment. And we are all aware, I believe. Is there anyone here who is really not familiar with doing treatment? Good. That's what I was thinking. So we're going to go a little farther than that, because now we're talking about doing treatment for others. But we have been doing treatment for others for a long time. So what this morning's talk is about is an evolution of how we approach doing treatment for ourselves and for others. As we know, I can sit here and say, there's one power, I'm of that one power, of that God, and I speak my word now for whatever, and now in gratitude, I release this treatment to the law where it has to happen, because that's the way the law works. And we all know there was nothing there, it's just a bunch of words. And so there is a long range, a spectrum of connection to the reality of what we're talking about, and just the words. Anybody can say the words. And there are probably people who would say just by saying the words makes a difference. When we're working on our own self, we're treating with our own mind, for our own mind, for our own self to know the truth. I suspect you can say those words and have no impact on oneself at all. And so this today is about approaching treatment, praying about others, praying about whatever, and treating our own selves, our own mind, with an expanded, a deeper sense of what it is we're all about. And that, and when we talk about we're training our own mind, we're treating our own mind when we do even relatively long extemporaneous treatments, it's like we're talking our way into a powerful belief and clarity. And when we get there, when it's like, yes, now I release this to the law, or to the world, to the law, to unfold. Because we know that everything starts with mind, some mind. And if we're working in mind, there's really only one mind. We say that. There's just this one creative power, and we're all working within it. We're all creating with it. And the fact that we can do that is an amazing gift. And so I think we need to start with who we are, because that's where we do treatment from. Prayers and treatments come from who we are. And we are some of the most blessed critters on this earth. Look where we get to live. Look where we get to, what we get to do. Look what we get to engage in. This is just practically, when you back up and look at the whole world and what's going on with most humans and most animals in the world, well, maybe not most animals, but a lot of them, they don't have it as, they don't live in a realm in which they have the choice and the relative ease. Yes, we can run into our difficulties and challenges. And yes, we can experience, you know, the various things that happen with human bodies or with aging. Yes, we have these experiences. But when it comes right down to it, we're all warm, dry, fed, not particularly worried about what's going to happen tomorrow to us. We are really blessed. We are, this life we have is practically miraculous in terms of what's available to humans. The choices that we have, that we get to make decisions about what we do next and tomorrow. And so what are we going to do? We've been blessed with this amazing life. And what are we going to do with it? Are we going to just continue going through this amazing life that we have? Eat, sleep, bodily stuff, go to work maybe, or whatever it is we do, and then get up and do it some more, you know, basically adjusting, making adjustments in our life to make sure we're as comfortable and happy as we can be. Is that what we're doing? I mean, you can talk about a horse, you know, it eats and sleep and keep it relatively comfortable and then hook it up to the wagon and go to work again and then do it again tomorrow. That's not who we, well, it can be who we are, but do we want to be that? What are we really all about? What would happen if our very operating system was what we say we want when we talk about, oh, I want to live a spiritually based life. I want to live a spiritually connected life. I want to live, you know, in this kind of a special, not special, but well, special life compared to what most people are doing with their lives. When we talk about living a spiritually based life, what does that mean? Well, it probably means that we have the regular routines of life in human bodies as humans, but there's something else that's going on with us. What do we get out of being a spiritually based person? Well, that's just, you know, that's just all about me. Until we think of it in terms of what are we bringing to the world? What are we here for? We don't have to go seeking our purpose. What am I going to do with my time and my life? Yeah, we can be doing that too. But what if our very operating system, who we are and how we are in the world, is all about love and compassion? That is who and what we are. There's your spiritually based life. Love and compassion for one's own self. Because right here is kind of ground zero for me. But then what happens is in any of our interactions, any of our time with other people, any of our time with animals, any of our time with what it is that we are as a presence in the world, is just sheer love and compassion. And if that's what we're after, if that's what we offer to others just by existing, if this is what we bring to others, particularly when they're asking for our assistance, when they're asking for prayers and treatment about something, if we just come in with the very foundation of who we are is love and compassion, we just shine a light that people feel. When it's authentic, when that is truly who and what we are, it shifts the energy. It's a physical thing. It's just a reality. But how do we get to being that way, where it really is who and what we're all about? Part of it is making a decision. That's what we want. And everybody here at least has somewhere along that path of seeking to be that. But how much attention are we really giving to it, to actually being that? It's very interesting. So I think that we have too many possibilities for what we can offer the world and to other humans to ignore this. But it is a choice. You know, we can decide to what degree do we want to actually be what we say we want to be. We want to say, well, I'm going to do this, but then I'll meditate on occasion or do prayers on occasion. I'll show up on Sundays on occasion. And you know, the occasional spiritually based person or something. Anyway, so what we're looking for is to be able to assist others by just our very existence. And so much of spiritual practice is about what? You know, sitting in prayer and meditation, the big one being meditation. And what's the point of that? It's not just because, oh, I'm connected to the universe, I'm connected to the creative power, om, whatever. The point of it is that we gain some control over our ability to pay attention, our ability to focus, our ability to actually bring that love, light, and compassion to whatever it is we're praying and we're doing treatment about. Because otherwise, it's like these windows that need to be washed, or it's like driving down the road after a snow, and now it's all this muddy slush and it's on the windshield. Meditation makes sure that all this muddy slush is off the windshield, that it doesn't stick, that all of the little vicissitudes of life don't stick. That we're not running this program about, oh, I got to think about this, I'm going to think about this, I'm going to worry about this, I'm going to move this, or, and it's not just during meditation itself, it's during all of our activities. So that when we have control of our minds and what sticks in our minds and what we run and run and run in our minds and what we pay attention to with our fine minds, particularly when we're doing prayer and treatment, are we coming in with a clear windshield? Where are we coming in just clear? Here we go. Now, everything that I have to offer in terms of love, light, and compassion, I'm going to shine this. I'm just going to be this. I am this. And it's not even I am this. It's just I being about ego. And that's what gets us through the world. We've got to have an ego to get through the world and do the things we do. But when we're into assisting others with whatever they're dealing with, because they've requested it, or just because I gotta offer something out here with this misery. I need to be something in response to this. Well, then here comes my clear mind, focused on the goodness, focused on the love, focused on the compassion, being with, knowing well-being. My existence brings this. But the way we get there is by meditation and practicing staying clear. And there are different ways of practicing meditation. You know, people say, I just can't sit there for, you know, 3 minutes. And I say this every time I do a talk, I think, is this thing about from Carolyn Mace, I heard years ago, that she just finds it laughable to think that we can make any difference in the world with our minds and our attention when we can't focus on anything in meditation for 10 seconds because we can't hold it. And that's what we're doing in meditation, is expanding the amount of time that we're actually bringing that clarity, that love and compassion, who we are, as opposed to your fine mind, because that's what fine minds do, loading up. It's awful quiet around here. How about this? Can we think about this? You know, you got to get ready because you got to, and you probably should write a thank you card for, and you probably should do, no, the stuff that our fine minds will do for us, because we just can't. This is what I want to be doing with my mind. Right now, I am entirely focused on this person or on my own thing or on whatever it is I'm focused on. And I am bringing nothing but love and compassion, and all these other little niggling things that can go on in the mind of a human being, because that's what brains do. They don't know how to just stay quiet unless we train them and help them learn to just, it's okay. I am just right now all about what I'm focused on right now. And that's what a spiritual practice will allow you to do. So that we learn to stay focused, stay clear, bring everything that we want to be bringing to this prayer, this treatment, this way of being. And then it's authentic and it's real. Now you're working from pure consciousness. And there you can have an effect and you can feel the difference. When you're in that state, when you're in that clarity, where all the little, little bugs and things that go around about whatever's going on, thank you very much, but not now. Because right now, I am bringing all of who I am, my connection with the creative force in the universe. It's what I am, and that's what I'm bringing here. And I'm using words when I'm doing treatment for someone, because then they can hear it, and they focus on that stream of words, that stream of consciousness coming through me, and they can hold that, and they can receive that stream. And that's why sometimes I think that a lengthy treatment is useful, because people can, it's like listening to music. It's like, yeah, people can just settle into what they're hearing, both the words and what they mean and what they feel. And they get that feeling, because then the person doing the treatment is right in there and you can feel it. And it has meaning. It makes a difference. It makes a difference. And so we need to, this is about strengthening our own operating system so that when we choose to be a certain way, that we get to be that way. When we want to be clear and focused and really connected, yeah, and we're working within our own self, and then that radiates, and then that energetic shift, and that's physical, that energetic shift can be picked up by somebody right in front of us. And that's what happens, I think, sometimes with people who they walk into the room and the energy shifts. You just feel it. Oh. And they're not doing anything special. They're not flashy. It's not their clothes. It's just they come in with this calm, clear, focused presence. When they're with you, they're with you. And when they're doing something else, they're doing that. It's that whatever it is we're focused on, we are truly focused on it. And so it comes to things like if there's anything going on in our own life where we're really, you know, hashing around about something or struggling or something's got our attention or something that, you know, we got to deal with this. And sometimes we go about it. And sometimes we get caught up in the stuff about, I wish this wasn't happening, or, oh, I wish I would do this a different way, or I wish whatever. And that's what Byron Katie talks about as, you know, arguing with reality. You really want to argue with reality? Can we get to the point of simply, yep, that's the way it is. Okay. Now, how am I? I am, because of my spiritual practice and my ability to meditate and control what's going on with my mind, so that all these other little bugs and flashes and things that go on in life can just, no, yep, that's what's happening. That's what I'm dealing with. That's what's going on in my human life. And I just know that, and I accept it, and I love what is. And so to get there, we wake up in the morning, and we engage in a spiritual practice of just remembering who we are, who I am. If there's some little prayer that you do, good morning, sunshine, here I am. I'm showing up again. Mm-hmm. Or you meditate, or you look at the flowers. And when you're doing what you're doing, you're actually just right there. And any other little thing, it's like, yeah, that's happening in the world, or that's happening with me. That's true. And I'm nothing but love and compassion. So I'm loving what is. I'm going to be here now and love what is. And then bring that to everything and everybody. There are things over which, you know, they happen. We can't make it different, but we can change how we are in it. Yeah, I'm not at all happy about what happened to this nightclub last night. This, that's, you're going to be reading about it in the paper, I'm sure, on the news. And that's what it is. And I can't do a thing about it, but I can just bring love and compassion to all involved in that. Everybody touched by it, everybody around. I'm going to love what is, and what is a life in which I can practice love and compassion no matter what. I can respond on a physical level. I can step up and get in touch with people who are making decisions and offering supports. I can activate.
You want me to put my headphones on?
But
okay. Supposed to be in this meeting for like just a little while.
Is love and compassion. Okay. And shine in that light. And that's what we want to be able to bring.
We'll do it after this.
So
we'll do it next.
We'll be exercising. Okay.
Liz, you're unmuted.
For the next part of this, we can talk about a practice for doing that when it's a group like what just happened, or when, you know, we got to do something about Ukraine and we, you know, but we can activate love and compassion and shine that light. We can do that for groups, for others who are not right here in front of us. And so that's what we'll talk about. And so thank you very much.